Welcome to this episode of Becoming an Elite Financial Advisor. My name is Sten Morgan. Recently, we unpacked our RESIST framework. I realized that most advisors and business owners were focusing on too many things at one time. But I've broken down every area of resistance that I see advisors from around the country run into six categories. If you didn't get to listen to that episode, please go back and check it out. In this episode, we are going to talk about revenue, the first area of resistance. Also, think about this as prospecting. Great revenue solves a lot of problems. It may not always be the main point of resistance in your business you should focus on, but it's something we have to think about at all times. So as we dive into this episode, I want to unpack some really practical steps to help you solve the revenue issue. It'll always be a priority, but how do we make it a great part of your business so it's not a recurring headache? All right, so let's talk revenue. I went to a great conference recently, and the speaker there pointed out, if you have a great product, you should focus on revenue at all costs to a point. Meaning, if you tweak things here and there, our client onboarding process can be a little bit better. Man, if you're not making $1 million a year, like, don't worry about it. Like, there's enough people around you that need what you have to offer today. That if you're distracted working on your onboarding formatting, let's tweak the way my website works. All of that serves as a massive distraction. It might feel good in the short term. It certainly create a lot of activity and lead to really busy days for you. But at times, it's a way of us avoiding the main thing. Do I understand my ideal client? And do I know how to go get their attention and bring them on to create new business? So the standard for this in our business is activity at all cost. I even felt like when I became a young advisor that the advanced strategies, the revenue generating prospecting methods that seemed less difficult, the approach I saw senior advisors taking when I was young were kind of off limits to me. To cut your teeth in this business, you just have to call a bunch of people. You know, knock on doors, accept a bunch of no's, essentially accept a really bad batting average, a really bad closing rate, but just do more of that thing over and over and over and over again. We all know what that leads to. You know, 8 out of 10 advisors or even more don't make it past 5 years. So in my opinion, that's not working. There's some group at some hierarchy of the financial services industry that's, I guess, okay with that model because we're all letting it recur over and over again. But for you and me at the advisor level, it's a bloodbath. Most of our peers aren't succeeding. If they do, they're settling for average. And every once in a while, we see some advisors that seem to break out of that and do something extraordinary. And we're all sitting back saying, like, how did they do it? What I want us to all agree to is that there's no shortage of potential clients. There's a lot of people that are willing to pay us for our time and ideas. There's definitely some competition. You know, there's a lot of sound out there in our space that we have to break through. But within an hour of your office right now, you have enough potential revenue and clients to make $1 million a year. So if there's some head trash around that, I don't have enough ideal clients, you know, the town I'm working in doesn't have enough business, you know, we can unpack that in head trash when we talk about your mindset and your thinking. But today, let's just assume and agree there's enough potential business out there. There's enough problems for you to solve to create the revenue to have the business and the life you want. So now what? I'm glad that I recognized as a young advisor the average way advisors were prospecting, and I started creating my own system, my own framework. So we call that value-first prospecting. You can go to gobeelite.com, and I have a course in there. You can order the book, and this is from start to finish the way I've learned to prospect, and we've had amazing results from it. The core message is, how do I not rely on relationships? Or how do I not rely on, man, I hope I just bump into somebody today that really needs to buy something and I, you know, somehow create some urgency in them and it kind of works out. I think most advisors are going after the same small sliver of clients. It's the 10% or less of people out there that want to buy insurance soon or now, or they have assets to manage and they're willing to move it soon or right now. That's not most people. But if you just try to bump into people enough, you'll run into some. But I think that's just a frustrating experience. So we prefer, when it comes to creating revenues, how can we use what I call targeting strategies to be more intentional? This is less shotgun approach and more sniper approach. we unpack a lot of this in the book. And when we do our live event, How to Charge Live, we get really deep into this. What if you knew who your client was? As an advisor, you went and studied up because you are the product, you are a professional. And you said, man, if I meet with somebody that invests in real estate, I have a lot of great ideas for them. Really specifically, I really understand cost segregation pretty well. That's a specific strategy. That's great. Well, now, as opposed to just trying to bump into anybody and everybody to get clients, you're saying, I'm looking for people within 2 hours of my office that own real estate. Okay, commercial real estate, investment real estate, commercial real estate. Okay, so your sole focus in life right now should be, how do I take this idea that I know these people need and package it in such a way that it gets their attention? And then when I get their attention, how can I communicate it further using quantified stories or examples to show them this is worth their time? If I meet somebody and I say, oh, I have this great, amazing idea, it's going to save you $20 this year, I'm probably not getting their attention. They're distracted by life. We have to cut through the fact that they have soccer practice to make it too soon. They have a family dinner they're, you know, running late to. How do we get their attention, and how do we make what we're trying to communicate to them land in their top three list of priorities in their life? What that means is we need to be able to communicate big problems, not small problems. And so in the value first prospecting framework, when we talk about targeting strategies, it's you need great ideas that you can get in front of the right people at the right time. Part of what I had to do in order to create more revenue is I had to start charging for financial plans. That when I moved to Nashville and I didn't know anybody, had zero clients, if I just tried to get in front of clients and transfer assets, the clients that had the assets I wanted to manage were most likely with another advisor. And I was in my early 20s. That could have worked, but I was like, there's got to be a better way. Or if I was just trying to sell insurance to people. So instead, I said, I'm going to create an experience or a process that I think most clients have not heard of before. They can engage with me for 3 months, 6 months, and I'm going to bring them great ideas. I'm going to build a full financial plan. Because if we're honest with ourselves as advisors, and I had to realize this too, when I was an AUM advisor and I thought I was doing financial planning, I really wasn't. I wasn't diving deep into cash flow and investment planning and tax strategies and estate and insurance. I was talking mainly AUM, maybe sprinkling a little estate planning on there and answer any questions they had for me. So what I did is I created what we call the plan score framework. And this is a framework that advisors in our community use to deliver comprehensive plans. This was new for me, and therefore it was pretty inefficient to start, but I started getting people to say yes to that experience. What I realized is there's a lot more people willing to pay a fee for your time and ideas than necessarily give you all their assets on day one, or maybe buy an insurance policy right away. And if you do get somebody to buy an insurance policy right away, that could be your reputation with them forever. Oh yeah, I remember Sten, I bought an insurance policy from him. He's my insurance guy. Like, no, I'm not. Like, I just did that for you because I wanted to get the assets under management and I wanted to be your financial planner. But if I led too heavy with the insurance to get the sell, well, maybe that's now I've just defined myself to that person forever. And it would be really hard to redefine myself with them. So Legacy is now an idea strategy firm first. So if you come and meet with us, I'm going to be in our conference room. I'm going to be on the whiteboard, drawing out ideas, sharing new things with you. And my whole goal in that meeting is for you to say, I've never heard of that before. Why hasn't somebody shared that idea with me in that way in the past? Well, I've never heard of it put that way, and now I actually understand it. And that's valuable, and people will pay for that. So as I started down that path, and I realized, like, people want to pay for this. This is an offering not most clients have had before. I then had to get really efficient with it, because building a financial plan can also be pretty labor-intensive. And as soon as I told myself, well, a client doesn't really know if I spent 10 hours on it or 2 hours, so we built a plan score software, we built some really great templates, and we said, how do we make this process so efficient that when somebody says yes to a financial plan, we can do that process in 2 to 3 months, deliver a great product, and there's a good chance there's referrals or other opportunities coming after that. So if you're thinking about charging for advice in financial plans, this became a high six-figure income stream for our practice, and I used to give it away for free. Some of the head trash I dealt with was, people won't pay for it. If I try to charge for a planning fee, I may not get the AUM or the insurance. We've had advisors call and say, hey, you're already getting paid from the AUM, so you should do the financial planning for free. I reject that because I know most advisors I meet with, and I've coached thousands now, when they say they're doing financial planning as part of assets, it is a below average financial plan at best. Like, you're not getting paid for it, so you're doing just enough but you're not taking it as seriously as you could.
The time is here. Our Overcoming Resistance course is now live. I would give anything to go back in time and have this information earlier in my career. I would have wanted to reject average and recognize the most important decisions I should make as a business owner. Visit gobeelite.com to access the course now. I wish I would have had this sooner, and now I'm giving it to you.
So how are you driving revenue in your practice? Are you mainly looking for AUM? If so, how are you doing it at elite level? How are you attracting people? Are you just relying on referrals? Have you fallen into what I call the curse of comfort? Meaning, man, I got good recurring revenue. I don't really need more business. So now I'm just going to play a lot of golf and hang out. I'm not wired that way. I'm also not working, 10-hour days. I'm with my kids in the morning. I want to be with them and make them dinner and hang out with them. But when I'm at the office, I want to be purposeful. I want to help as many people as I can. So if I can build a business that's efficient and I can bring other people on so that more clients can benefit from our process, why wouldn't I do that? At that point, to me, it just feels like it's just my laziness leading at that point. So do you have a system of tracking prospects, attracting attention, adding value so that your business is getting consistent leads coming in? If you don't, and you are not profitable, and part of being profitable is knowing what your financials are. Most advisors don't know this. For years in our online community, I tried to get advisors to fill out scorecards for themselves. And I realized, I'm forcing them to do it, but for some reason they don't see the value in it yet. You have to take your advisor hat off and put your business owner hat on and say, at all times, my decisions need to be data-driven. Am I profitable? Or am I just getting paid as an advisor and there's no money left in the bank account for the business? Do I have enough profit to do profit sharing with my employees because they're great and I want to keep them? What are my expenses for my business? Do I need to make any strategic investments to grow my practice? All of these things will become topics you think about as soon as you get past the fear stage of, am I going to be able to pay my bills? So revenue should be your main focus once you have a good product and a basic system in place. All six of the resist categories are important at all times. But if you do not have reserves in the bank, I hope you're living a reasonable lifestyle, so you're not just blowing it all. You're in the business of financial planning, so hopefully you're good with your finances. I will challenge you to say revenue should be your focus. As soon as you get recurring revenue to where you can pay a great team to be in place so you can focus on your superpowers as an advisor, you're not wearing too many hats, we got to figure out a way to attract the right clients, get paid really well for the value add in a really efficient, profitable way. And what's great is once you solve that, it takes a lot of pressure off. The anxious feeling I had for probably the first 8 to 9 years of being an advisor, it was really freeing to have a day where I was like, wow, I'm relaxed and I can sit on a whiteboard and kind of dream about the future of our business. How do we add more value to our current clients? How do we level up our expertise in our practice so we can attract more complex clients? If you are feeling the anxiety routinely about new business and revenue, this should be your focus. So feel free to read Value First Prospecting, watch the course online, jump onto some of our calls we have. I feel passionate about this one because there's so many advisors that are great advisors, but because they're not great prospectors, there's a chance they don't make it in the business or they have to go just work for somebody else. But if we can help you figure out this revenue issue, then we get to work on the other business stuff. Part of just filmed a great episode with Taylor Schulte on this about a funnel. Some prospecting strategies are short-term, meaning you have a client that works at a certain company in your town and they love you. Okay, well, for the short term, you're going to get with that client. You're going to try to get with people within their business, within that same employer, just to drum up some immediate business. But that does take your effort. That's manual, relationship heavy. All of us should have short-term prospecting strategies, but we should also have the long game happening behind the scenes. My team has spent the last 6 months building a financial guide for women going through financial transitions in life. We had to build a workbook. There's some courses and some videos for it. Like, it took a while. But now, once that's almost finished, that's a really valuable piece of content that we can promote online, that we can pass out around our community, that will be evergreen and generate and attract business to us. A great funnel, you know, we see advisors with podcasts. We see advisors write books. You could even do a video series online to where once a week you drop a short video educating people on something. Every 2 weeks, I send my clients an idea of me whiteboarding and explaining that idea to them. And people love it. We get great feedback from it. So what system are you building right now that attracts people to you and continues to add value and nurtures them? Because most of the time you're not going to meet somebody and they're going to do business with you right away. You have to touch them 7 to 10 times, maybe, if not more, that they hear the right piece of information at the right time and they want to do business with you. So if the funnel, or you'll hear some people call it the flywheel of marketing, if you are not pretty familiar with that, I would say make that a focus pretty soon. If you are under 45 years old in this business and you're like, I want to build something over the next 12 months and test it for the next 12 months. So 24 months from now, you have this really well-built machine that's attracting business for you consistently. I mean, you look back and say that was one of the best things you've ever done in your career, because it can just last and last and last. And if you're later in your career and you're like, I got a big business and I don't really feel that motivated, well, my hope is you're thinking about succession and you're bringing in some new blood that should think about this stuff. Then in a perfect world, every one of our practices has some level of business coming to us at all times. We can always throttle it up and we can always go out there and speak at an event or ask for referrals from clients to drum up more business. But if your revenue and prospecting is only successful if you as the lead advisor is driving on it and touching it every single day, that's really risky for your business. So if as we unpack this today, you said, Sin, that's it. Like, revenue is my issue. I'm stressed about it. It doesn't seem to be consistent. I don't feel like I have a system around it. I need more revenue to hire people, but I know in order to hire people and make more revenue, or in order to make more revenue, I need to hire people now, like that chicken egg thing. I talk to a lot of advisors about that. If you right now, your main excuse for not prospecting more is you don't have the time, you need to give away as many things as possible, because driving the revenue first will make a lot of decisions easier for you down the road. And sometimes that means hiring somebody before you think you can afford them. If you start going down that path, I would say make sure you have a really good hiring process, and we could share some of that with you. Because one of the most costly things you can do for your business is make the wrong hire. It sets you back 3 to 6 months. It's really distracting. So as we think about revenue, try to unpack it. If this is your main point of resistance, and we'll do episodes on the others, the point of trying to do something great as opposed to doing a lot of things good is you dedicate 80% of your time trying to solve this point of resistance, this problem, instead of trying to solve all of them at once. I'm trying to improve my systems. I'm out there studying to get new ideas. I want to be a better speaker, so I'm practicing that. And oh, by the way, I want to try to improve my revenue. You touching them is not making them great. You might be making them slightly better, but what would it look like for you to focus your practice on revenue at all cost? And then once that's in a great, healthy spot, maybe 6, 8, 12 months from now, we then get to step back and focus on something else. So I hope this was encouraging and challenging to you. Have a great week.